Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
And see if the Lord would help us today. Luke chapter number 16, whenever you find your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And man, don't forget service this evening. Make sure you're faithful to God's house, and we'll have a good time. Luke chapter number 16, I'll read some familiar verses to you this morning, but I pray that God would speak to our hearts as we look at it today. The Bible said this in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one arose from the dead. Now, Father, I pray that you'd help us today. God, you know the very need of this service today. God, you know the need of every person sitting here. God, Father, you know the eternal destiny of every soul that is in this building today. God, there's not but one that I know for sure that's saved today, and that's me. I believe that there's some here saved, but God, only you and that individual knows for certain whether or not they're saved. God, no doubt out of a number this size, there's somebody here today that don't know that they're saved. So God, I pray, God, that you'd speak to their heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd reveal to them their need of salvation. But God, I pray, Lord, that you'd also reveal to them a great Savior that loved them and gave himself for them. God, I pray that you'd save that sinner closest to hell, us that is saved. God, may you give us a fresh vision of a place called hell and burden our hearts, Father, like never before for those that's headed there. In Jesus' name, that name that's above every name, we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this passage for just a little while today and preach on the subject of hell. Whenever you come to Luke chapter number 16 and begin reading in verse number 19, we know that it is probably the clearest picture of hell in the Word of God. There is numerous other verses in our Bible and other passages that deals with the subject of hell. However, personally, I believe that this is probably the greatest picture of hell that is recorded in the Word of God. We get a glimpse into hell, the people of hell, and what is going on in hell at this present time while I'm preaching to you today. A lot of commentators, even a lot of preachers, and people believe that verse number 19 through verse number 31 is nothing more than a parable of the New Testament. However, you'll find that is wrong today. Whenever you study the parables of the New Testament out, you'll find out that there's never a time in a parable that a name is mentioned. Here in these verses, we find that Lazarus is mentioned here. The rich man, we don't know his name. It's never mentioned here. He was probably known well in his community, but he is not mentioned here. The truth of the matter is this. Whether there's a name or there is not a name, it does not change the fact of a hell that is burning beneath us today. Matter of fact, whenever you study the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament, you'll find that Jesus preached on the subject of hell more than he did anything else. I want to say something to you today. As sure as I'm standing here, there is a hell that is burning beneath us today in the center of the earth. As sure as there is a heaven today that we as the body of Christ will one day enjoy for eternity, there is a hell today. And if you die lost without God and reject the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die and spend an eternity in hell based on the authority of God's word. Now, this question is a popular question today. Why would a God that is so loving send man in whom he has created in his image to hell? Can I say something to you today? God has never sent one person to hell. You say, well, the rich man died and went to hell. God didn't send him to hell. You say, well, my loved one died without God and went to hell. God didn't send them there. The individual makes a choice to deny God and to deny the blood of Jesus Christ. And in doing that, they choose in their own power to go to hell. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3. And see that God set up mankind to have his own free will. In other words, man makes his own choices. But with every choice comes a consequence. Can I get an amen? So God doesn't send man to hell. Man chooses to go to hell when he rejects God. Whenever we study the Word of God, we'll find that hell was not even created for mankind. Whenever you study the Word of God out, there was a day that there was an argument, if you want to put it that way, in heaven, and Satan, the devil himself, had brought an argument before God because he wanted to be equal with God. And God said this to Satan, if you want your own place to rule over, I'll give you a place to rule over. And he created hell for the devil and his angels. God never created hell for mankind. He created it for the devil and his angels. But when mankind chooses to reject God, mankind chooses to go to hell. Let me show you three things about hell this morning right here in this passage. Number one, I want you to see the misery of hell. The misery of hell. The Bible said this, look in verse number 23. And in hell, this being the rich man, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. The latter portion of verse number 24 says, I am tormented in this flame. The latter portion of verse number 25 says, thou art tormented. I began to study this word tormented out, and it's a very interesting word. Here's what I found out that it means. To cause intense pain, to be in anguish. I found that word anguish very interesting because it's not a word that you hear much in today's society. How many times do you hear somebody preach on anguish or talk about anguish or even mention the word anguish? So I began to study that word anguish out, and that's what torment is. It's to cause intense pain, to be in anguish. I studied that word anguish out, and listen to this. It's extreme pain, either body, listen, or mind, as pain of the mind, it signifies any keen distress from sorrow, remorse, or despair. The misery of hell. I've oft thought about this. What is the worst thing about hell? As a saved person now, I would say knowing the presence of God, being eternally separated from the presence of God, would probably be the worst thing of hell. But for a lost man, he does not understand the presence of God. This word anguish deals, listen to this, a pain either of the body or of the mind. Let me tell you something. There's these little things in between our ears that nobody can figure out. It's called the mind. It's a very interesting part of our body. Makes us do a lot of stupid things every once in a while. Somebody say amen right there. The mind. Matter of fact, we just done a podcast this past week. I hope you'll listen to it. We had a Christian counselor come in at it. And we talked about the mind and anxiety and overcoming those things and retraining the mind. Your mind will make you think things that's really not even there. Are you with me? Your mind today. What would be the worst thing about hell? The burning would be bad. Sure, it's an eternal fire that you're never going to get out. But I'm going to tell you something. I think personally the worst thing about hell would be the mind. What did he say? He said, son, remember. Abraham looks at him and says, hey, Lazarus, or hey, rich man, remember. Remember. The mind, the misery of hell. I looked that word anguish up. And listen to the latter portion of that. It says this, as a pain of the mind, it signifies any keen distress, sorrow, remorse, or despair. And I thought about this in his mind, the remorse of not choosing Christ. The mind this morning. I really believe, now some may disagree with me here, but I really believe that the rich man has heard about Christ. I really believe he knows who Jesus is. I really believe he knows the way to heaven. He knows who Abraham is. He's aware of heaven. He's aware of praying. I really believe, and personally I believe, that Lazarus could have quite possibly been the man that witnessed to him and told him about God. There is a reason that there is a contrast of the two. There's two families here. There's two funerals here. There's two futures here. Whenever you look at this, it's these two. And I really believe that Lazarus may have told him about God. And you can just imagine, could you just imagine, the remorse in his mind right now because he didn't listen to Lazarus. Lazarus probably said, wait, man, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's a hell burning beneath us, man. You know, whether you ever give me anything to eat or not, what you need to realize, there's a God that loves you and a God that'll save you. The remorse in his mind, the misery of hell today. Oh, yes, it's where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place of agony. Oh, but I'm going to tell you something. It's a place of pain. But I tell you today, I really believe in all of my heart. The worst thing about it is a man's mind, because he can't get no relief from it. He can't get, you know what, you get in pain and you'll do crazy things because you're in pain. Your mind can't handle it. One of the things that I found very interesting, we did another podcast this week with a special needs educator. Matter of fact, she's coming here to do a workshop with all of our Sunday school class teachers and all of our Awana teachers. But we was talking about those kids with special needs, Brother Josh, and we was talking about autism was one thing that we was talking about. And here's what she said. She said, have you ever been at a place where you just felt like screaming? And I said, yeah, daily. I said, I got three daughters and a wife. Daily. Somebody say amen right there. You got a little bit of it, don't you? She said, but the reason you don't scream is because something inside of you tells you not to scream and calms you down. And she was talking about how in the mind of a special needs kid, the reason they scream sometimes is because they get to this point and they don't know how to calm themselves down. So the only thing they know to do is to scream. You think about pain for so long. I know this might be a little bit comical, but I remember the first time I went to the hospital with a kidney stone. And I got in there, and I was slapping my vein. Put something right here. You know, where's that little thing you tie around? I need something in here. And I'll never forget, man, they come in there and put morphine in it. And after they did, it didn't touch it. And I started beating on the wall in the hospital, Brother Brian, in that room, screaming, beating on the wall. You say, why? Because I was in so much pain. My mind wasn't saying, you don't need to scream. He was saying, scream, hoss, and scream real loud. They come in there with some dilaudid and put it in the vein. And man, they were sunflowers. And it was good, man. And about 15 minutes later, I was beating the wall again. The mind this morning, the misery of hell is this. Your mind will be the same. You'll remember everything. You'll remember every time you had a chance to get saved. You'll remember every time somebody witnessed to you. I believe you'll remember every time somebody gave you a gospel tract. I believe you'll remember every service that you sat in. I believe you'll remember every message you heard preached. I believe if you die lost without God and go to hell out of this service this morning, you'll remember the songs that was sang. I believe you'll remember the people that went to the altar. You'll remember a preacher preaching about it. The mind this morning, he still had it. The misery of hell. But watch this, not only the misery of hell, and I'm really headed to the last point. I want you to see the missionary in hell. There was a missionary in hell. You say, really? Yeah. He was the rich man. What does he do? He says, send him to my brothers. He starts praying. I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldst send him. The only problem was this. Him being a missionary was too late. It was too late. He was already dead and in hell. He was already gone. It was too late to try to win his brothers to Christ. He was dead. If we could roll back the center of the earth and we could pull the rich man out and set him down right here, I can't help but to wonder if one of the first things he wouldn't say is, where's my brothers at? Did anybody ever tell him? Maybe at this point he knows, not maybe, he does know. They're not still alive today for certain. He does know. They're either in heaven or in hell. I want to say something to you this morning. Whether we're lost or whether we're saved, when we're dead and gone, it's too late to be a missionary. It's too late to tell somebody about God. He waited way too long. But then we get to this point where we're afraid of what everybody will say. You know, will I offend them? I'd rather offend them and know that I told them about God than them die and go to hell and me question the rest of my life whether or not I told them about God. There was a missionary in hell, but it was way too late. We better reach our family while we can. We better reach our friends while we can. We better reach our coworkers while we can. I'll give you this last of all, and I've really preached all morning to get right here. I see this, I see the misery of hell, the missionary of hell. But I see the message from hell. There's a message that rings out of hell today. There is, we can say this, he's preaching a message to us today. There is a message ringing out of hell today. What is that message? I would say this. It would ring out this today. Hell is an actual place. It's real. It's real. The Bible says hell hath enlarged itself daily. There's your answer to global warming, by the way. It's because hell's enlarging itself daily. That's the reason why there's global warming today. I don't care what Old Joe says that's the reason there's global. Hell's enlarging itself daily. It's an actual place. Everything. I was teaching this morning on the existence of God. Everything today, everybody wants facts. Well, show me the facts. Show me the facts. Won't you listen to what the Word of God says? It's through faith that we believe this. Everything comes back to faith, church. It's through faith that we believe the Word of God. It's through faith that we believe that Jesus walked this earth and died. It's in which historians have recorded that. It's more than the Bible that records the events of the Bible. Now, the Bible is the supreme authority. Somebody say amen right there. But history has proven, and historians have recorded, what happened really did happen. But it's by faith. You said, preacher, how do you believe that there's an actual hell? By faith today. You say, well, what if there's not? It's still the greatest life ever lived that I'm living right now. But there is. It's an actual place. It would say this, it's an awful place. The message from hell would ring out today, it's an awful place. Years ago, and don't condemn me here, but years ago, I didn't always listen to gospel music or country music. I listened to a lot of things I shouldn't have listened to. And one of them, and y'all all going to start singing it in your mind from my generation, was Take Me Down to the Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are pretty. That's what it was. And another one was this, Hell's Bells. Used to be one of my favorite songs. I'm not going to lie to you. AC/DC was one of my favorite groups when I was a teenager. It was one of my favorite songs. But I'm going to tell you the actuality of hell today is not no paradise city. I promise you they're not sitting in hell today popping open a bottle of beer, kick back, watching TV. I'm telling you, hell's an awful place today. All throughout this passage of Scripture right here, it describes the torments and the pains and the awfulness of a place called hell. But I thought about this. The message rings out of hell today is this. It's an avoidable place. It's an avoidable place. What did he say? He said, send somebody to my brothers and tell them about God, unless they come to this place. The rich man realized he didn't have to be there. Oh, he does now, and he is now. But it was avoidable, Brother Jacob. And he says, somebody go tell my brothers that they do not have to come to this place. We can't avoid hell today. Anybody that died and went to hell, it was their own choice to do that. And if you die and go to hell out of a service like this, it's your own choice to do that. You choose to make that choice. A lot of people says this. Do you care to come start playing softly? A lot of people says this, especially younger generations. Well, I'm going to have my time living for myself, doing for myself. I'm going to have my time doing that. And when I get done with that, I'm going to sow my wild oats. Man, do we really need to preach on the law of harvest this morning? You may sow them, but they're going to come back up. I'm going to sow my wild oats. I'm going to live my life. And at some point, I'm going to settle down. I'm going to get saved. And I'm going to start going to church. Well, the Bible says this, James. For what is your life? What is your life? He goes on to say, it's a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. It's cold weather. If you go outside and start your vehicle right now, you know what? There's a vapor that'll come out your tailpipe. Those exhaust fumes. If you want to go outside and breathe right now, what is it? A vapor will come out of you. You'll see your breath. And you know what? It's there for just a minute and then where's it at? It's gone. You can go home and open the crock pot at our house Whenever you open that crock pot, I hope Leslie turned it on for some, because I'm really hungry. When you open that crock pot, you know what will rise out of that crock pot? A vapor. And you'll see it for just a minute, and then it's gone. Are you with me? She's got one of them Instapots. That and air fryers are some of the greatest things that's ever been created. You can take that Instapot and put some water in it, put some taters in it, and put some cheese in it, and whatever else, ketchup, whatever else goes in all that soup. And turn that thing on, and Brother Brian, it goes for a little while, and then it stops. And whenever it stops, I'm not the person that, I got a lot of patience, but when it comes to food, I don't. I'm not the person that waits on all the pressure to go. I go over to Brother Josh and I take me a wooden spoon and I hit that piece on the top. And when I hit that piece on the top, it lets all the pressure off that thing, praise God. And you can open it up and get what's in it, praise God. But whenever you hit it, there's a bunch of steam vapor that comes out of it. And you know what? If all of that steam was still in our house, well, you wouldn't be able to go in there. What happens? It's there for just a minute and it's gone. That's what our life is today. That's what our life is today. Yesterday we was working on that grant. Tina got so mad she laid out of church today from working on that grant with me yesterday. But we was sitting back there at my desk and we started talking about high school, Brother Matt. We started talking about Brittany. We started talking about Jensen. I always called her Jensen. She said, I still talk to her. I said, really? I said, well, here, let's take a picture and send to her. She took a picture and we texted her and started texting back and forth there for a minute. We started talking about all the different people that we went to school with. We started talking about this and that in school. Honestly, Brother Matt went to school with, that seems like yesterday. Seems like yesterday I was in Long Hickory, North Carolina. You know where Long Hickory's at, don't you, Brother Jerry? I was in Long Hickory, North Carolina. And Daddy had left the night before and drove to Knoxville, Tennessee to buy a 64 El Camino. And it was back before we had phones. So what I started doing the next morning, Brother Brian, I just started looking out over the farm at Ma and Pa Hatfield's I was staying with. I'd look out every once in a while, I'd look at that road, see if Daddy was coming down that road. We ain't had no Life 360. It's stand and glare. And I heard gears changing. And I thought, that sounds like an old hot rod coming down the road right there. I'll never forget, man, I run out to the edge, and sure enough, here come Daddy, and that old rough 64 El Camino, one of the fenders was primered on it. He pulled in, and he said, well, what do you think? I said, it's the prettiest thing I ever did see. We got in it and went back up a road and pulled back out on the highway over there on Courtney Huntsville Road, and Daddy turned her up about 7 grand and sidestepped that clutch. We went to blacken the road up through there. Praise God. He said, now whenever you get it right there, he said, you push that clutch and throw it into second, sidestep it again. And he said, it'll keep us spinning. And boy, we did and went up through that. Man, it seems like yesterday. That I was 15 years old. I'm 44 today. That's a long time ago. But it seems like yesterday. Brother Jerry, I bet you could tell stories when you was 15 and 16 and 17 year olds on the dirt roads, not on the paved roads, but probably on the dirt roads. Standing tractors. And it seems like yesterday, does it not? Seems like yesterday that we started here. You and Miss Tina was the first couple to join after I came. That's 16 years ago. Our life, church, don't you understand? It's a vapor. So if we say we're going to do it tomorrow, what is tomorrow? Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what the morrow may bring. This may be the last church service you ever sit in. You may get in your vehicle. God knows my heart. I pray this never happens. But you may get in your vehicle and start out of here. And some of us people sitting in this very room may be the people that comes and cuts your body out of a car and puts it in a body bag. We don't know what our life is. I think I want to live to see my girls get married. I think. I'm having a harder time with that. Well, I think I do, Brother Josh. I don't see them get married. And my kids are starting to grow up. But we got done with Sunday school and little sweet Caroline come running around my desk back there. I said, "You gonna come sit with the preacher? Come on, come on." I coached her into it. She crawled up in my lap and sat in my lap. First time I ever thought about this, Brother Brian, but I thought, you know what? It'll be my grandbabies for long. Getting old, Mama. Be my grandbabies for long. I want to live to see that. I really do. I want to see my... I know I pick a lot. But my life is good. Nacho said it the best. It's really good. I wouldn't change nothing about... I mean that. I wouldn't change one thing about my life. I wouldn't trade my life with one person. I love life. I love living. I love living the life that I live. I love watching my kids. I love my goats. I love my car. I love my truck. I love my gun. Somebody say amen right there. I love my wife. I love where I live at. I love the county I live in. I mean it. I love life. But my life could be gone before the sun goes down today. We're not promised our next. And if you're sitting here lost and your life is ended before the day's out, you're going to open your eyes in a place that is completely avoidable. What's the number one thing that keeps people out of hell? It's one word. Pride. What will they say about me? You hear me in here? It don't matter what nobody says about you. It don't matter. What matters is escaping hell. You say, "Preacher, what if all of that's a hoax? What if it's not?" If it is, I still lived a great life. If it's not, you got hell to worry about. Literally. I'm not using that as a slang word. I'm using it as a literal. You got hell to worry about. I ask you this question and I'm done. If you died in the next 30 seconds, where would you spend eternity? I'm not trying to get you to doubt your salvation. I know that I'm saved. I know I've done what this book said. I know I'm saved. Do you? And if not, what keeps you from settling it today? Father is...